What I'm going to do today is kind of bring it down a notch on the science and imaging and kind of meld together some anatomy, physiology, and some bro science so that you guys can get an idea of how we can do some shoulder rehab progressions to basically getting back into the weight room, returning to their strength and conditioning program. A lot of times as a physical therapist, as they get further and further away from their injury, they want to get back to school, get back with the team and the gym. I think you guys, most of the trainers in here, some of the therapists here that can see their patients, see their clients, they see their kids, get all the way to the point where they return to full, gives you guys an opportunity to really teach them as much about mechanics and things like that as possible. So what I want to do today is talk about that. Obviously, if you guys have any questions, feel free to shout at me. I'll try my best to listen and hear you guys. I have no financial relationships. All right, so let's start off with what we're going to do next. This person that you're going to see has basically pretty much regained their full range of motion. Strength is good. Soft tissue mobility is good. They're, you know, 3+ months out. They've been cleared for return to sports training, return to strengthening. And a lot of times they want to get back into lifting weights and getting back with their teams if they're doing that. But it's, you know, for a physical therapist out there, if you're dealing with a recreationalist, not a student, they want to get back to their previous activities. We're dealing with just typical athletes in all sports. They got to be able to build up their overall strength. But then any throwing athletes, we need to make sure that we're addressing the right areas as well. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today is how we get from that, all right, rehab's done, but they're not ready to get back in the gym and lift heavy with the rest of the team. So that's what we're going to do. So typically, who are we working with? Very few of us are working with this guy here, but sometimes you have athletes that come in that resemble this guy. He doesn't have a lot of, obviously, malalignments. He looks like he can pretty much pick up a lot of heavy weight 2 to 3 months after surgery. So not a lot of work, just some education, making sure everything's going well. But then most of the time, we're dealing with people like this. All right. These are our students, especially with the postures they have nowadays. You know, phones, desks, you know, you get a shoulder and you're dealing with rehab and you're trying to talk to them about keeping proper alignment, doing everything well, and then they go to sit in their desk for, you know, 4 to 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, and then they sit on their phone if they're not at their desk. So we're dealing with a lot of postural issues, alignment issues, and I think this is going to be kind of the foundation of my talk. It's pretty simple, but I'm going to show you guys how important it is just to kind of nail this in when we're talking about technique with lifting, technique to getting back into where they want to go. So not too long ago, Bubba sent out a survey to some of you trainers asking what kind of exercises you did for return to sport, what kind of things that you guys did as a team to strength and condition. And I want to thank all two of you who responded back to him. So if you don't see your exercises up here, it's because this is what I got from the people. So if there you have other issues, other exercises that you perform, then we could talk about them later or afterwards. But this is a lot of the main lifts that deal with a lot of upper body stuff. So we're going to talk about these and how they kind of affect where you are along with your strength and conditioning program, but also what's important about doing them correctly and how we're going to set that up well. So first off, posture awareness is the priority. All right, these guys come in, and I've heard the Mr. Burns epidemic, right? So basically, they come in looking like they're aged, kyphotic postures, typical issues. We deal with forward head. Am I in your guys' way? All right. Thoracic kyphosis, a lot of rounded forward shoulders, even a little bit of lordosis where they just don't turn on their abs. They basically just hang on their ligaments. So we're dealing with just, you know, poor posture. And you can imagine if these guys coming out of a surgery, being in a sling, not being able to do a lot with their arms, they're probably not trying to maintain that good upright posture for a while. So this is really the time that we can say, hey, this is the most important time to set this alignment and build strength in the right places. So first off, poor posture leads to difficulty performing scapular retraction. So looking at this picture here, what we have is we have the forward shoulders, right, going around this way. You have typically a depressed scapula, all right, upper traps are kind of holding on. These muscles right here, this is your attachment of your lower trap. We all know lower traps are important. We try to recruit those with isolation exercises. But once you get into more compound lifts, you can't just say, all right, squeeze your shoulder blades back and lock them down and hold them there. Your shoulder blades should be able to move freely. So in a forward rounded position, you have a constant stretch to those muscles. As we know, physiology-wise, a muscle at stretch has a harder time to recruit to contract, and a muscle that's lengthened is also at its weakest point. So getting these muscles to be in a better position, and then lastly, you can see a little bit of winging of the scapula, basically serratus, lower traps not turned on. So this is a prime example of what you probably would see some guy just not turning on their postural muscles, just kind of hanging out. So how do we address that? In the clinic, what we want to do, So what does it lead to? So bad mechanics. So if they were to go in with these mechanics, not being able to retract appropriately, we get a lot of bench press where they don't basically pull their shoulder blades back, so they go into a lot of excessive glenohumeral extension, all right? Rowing with bad mechanics where they can't retract back, they get a lot of extension at the humerus here, and then dips. You know, I'm not a big fan of dips. I think there's better exercises, but if they perform dips, you get a lot of this stress, and that's going to create an anterior humeral glide. A lot of times after rotator cuff repair, if those muscles are weak, that secondary stabilizer, anterior stabilizer, your biceps tendon becomes irritated. You get a lot of biceps tendonitis as you try and get back into lifting. So with a lot of times, it's just a matter of putting their shoulders in a proper position and then educating them on proper mechanics when they're doing their big lifts again. So you're not doing prone exercises. You're not doing the little TheraBands. We're talking about bigger lifts. So at this time, you really want to talk to them about being able to get those shoulder blades back. So how are we going to do that? We're going to assess first how well they can do a basic push-up. So this is something we can do in the training room, the PT clinic. But what you want to look for is their setup first, all right? If they have a static posture, right, and they set up with everything in good alignment versus that still that thoracic kyphosis, right, they don't have the ability to get those shoulder blades back, so they end up looking like this guy here. Going down into a push-up, do they have control? Do they keep their shoulder blades in line with their elbows so there's not a lot of that excessive humeral extension, putting a lot of stress on the front of their shoulder blades? So just being able to do a standard push-up, maintaining good alignment, is a good way to assess their ability to retract with compound movement. All right, so here's some exercises in case you guys do come away with, all right, this guy needs some work. We need to get those shoulder blades moving on their thorax. This is something we can do first. We just want to work on that mobility of the thoracic spine. You can do things like foam rollers, do an extension here. I put this picture here because a lot of times I see guys come in, and what they do is instead of going through their thoracic spine, they do a lot of lumbar extension. All right, so instead of moving through your thoracic spine, they're compensating and just arching their back over the foam roller. So what you have the key to do, you have to cue them on maintaining alignment, maintaining a good abdominal contraction of their anterior core, and it's a small motion. The thoracic spine doesn't really move a whole lot, so you just want to move through that motion, basically seeing their chest expand without their rib cage really lifting up, because once the rib cage lifts up, you've lost that anterior control. So you want to really keep their rib cage down and then moving through their thoracic spine, so you just get some mobility there. Follow that mobility up with some exercises that really emphasize the scapular traction. Everybody familiar with face pulls? Face pulls you can do at a cable, you can do with TRX, you can do with TheraBands. But basically what you're doing is you're putting your arms up here and you're pulling back. So what you want to look for is the typical forward head compensation where they want to poke out instead of retracting their shoulder blades back. You want to feel those shoulder blades come back. Just cue them on telling them how to move those shoulder blades on their ribcage. That's the motion they should feel. They shouldn't be thinking about how far their elbows go back, but more so their shoulder blades moving on their thorax. Bat wings. Another good shoulder blade exercise. You can do it at an incline, you can do it flat. I like the inverted row because what you do is you put their weight as their major lift. You know, you should be able to move your body weight before you add a considerable amount of weight to you. So doing it on a TRX, doing it on a bar, the TRX just allows your grip to change a little bit. But what you can do is you can see a full body work here. So you can see that they can control their full body. They don't go into a lumbar extension. They can keep their head back, right? And one thing about the inverted row, you want to make sure is that you can recruit biceps work, so you don't have to sit there and do a whole lot of bicep curls. If they're worried about their biceps, you can get them to do some supination, get their biceps to recruit a little bit more, and kind of get a greater workout for them. And then we get back into pressing, so horizontal pressing is big into strength and conditioning. First thing we want to do, for safety reasons, is do the dumbbell floor press. Okay, I like to do the dumbbell versus the barbell right off the back because you're trying to isolate out that right side. Floor press keeps them from going behind their back. All right, you can teach them how to really set up their shoulder blades. For a bench press, a lot of times shoulder blades, you want to kind of lock them onto the bench so that you get a good base and then press through your arms, because if your shoulder blades start to round and you lose that shoulder blade pinch as you come back into extension, with those shoulder blades not being in retraction, you get that little excess of extension through the arm. So really teaching them how to lock their shoulder blades back on the floor. Progress to a push-up. Narrow width just gives them a little less stress to the shoulder, gets their triceps, gets their lats to kind of kick in. really focusing on making sure they keep their arms in good alignment, and then finally going into dumbbell bench press so they can feel their shoulder blades move and stay back unilaterally to start off with, and then eventually progress to the barbell. Okay, so we're really focusing on shoulder blade position, setup of the shoulder blades whenever they're doing their pressing exercises, and really building up the strength of their ability to maintain that retraction. Next, scapular upper retraction. All right, so overhead lifting, forward pressing, exercise, even, you know, we get into sports where they have to press above a 90-degree angle. We have to get some sort of upward retraction. And we deal with a lot of rotator cuff repair, biceps, repairs, tendonitis, those sorts of things. The last thing you want to do is get them back into the gym and repetitively ram their arm up into the acromion. So building up the ability to improve their upward rotation of the scapula is going to clear your mind and clear them from having to deal with repeated impingement issues and issues, weaknesses like that. So overhead press. So just a quick survey. Who thinks overhead press is important or likes to do it in their strength and conditioning program? Nobody? One person? What's the problem with overhead pressing? Throw something out. Poor form. So that's something we can address. If they can't do it, then we kick it to the curb. Other than poor form, what's wrong with overhead pressing? Is it bad for baseball players? Can be, if they don't do it correctly. So who's heard that squatting below parallel is bad, right? But how many studies have you guys read that when you do squat below parallel, it doesn't really do that much more damage than squatting to 90 or below? It's all about mechanics, right? So if we can improve their mechanics, pressing overhead doesn't have to necessarily be a bad thing, all right? Think about a football player, a lineman, all right? A lot of times you're dealing with bench press. So what we want to think about is whenever they come up and they get to their opposing player, do they do a forward press or do they do more of a incline press? So you got to think about getting that into a position where they're going to have that repeated out on the field. So overhead pressing, we'll talk about that progressions, but obviously with this guy here, he doesn't have the upper rotation. He's compensating with his lumbar spine. You can see his flared rib cage through here. All right, this is his bad layers stacking on top of each other. So in the training room, how can we assess their overhead range of motion? Just laying there right now, you see this guy, you got a difference right versus left, but still, he's not even able to get to 180 just at rest. So what you've done on this assessment here, you lay him on the table. You have them abdominally contract to flatten their back against the table so they minimize lumbar lordosis. And then you have them passively drop their arms overhead. You get an assessment of upper rotation. You get assessment of what else? Lat mobility, right? Lats are big muscles that like to kick in. When you go overhead, if they're not loose, you're going to get this type of movement. And then an active reach, same thing. This is a good example. See how his back is arched in order for him to get overhead. All right, if he flattens out his back, maintains a neutral spine whenever you lift overhead, which is what you want to have a good stable base for your core to stabilize, he probably loses some motion. All right, let's say you clear that up. Now we want to see an active motion, thus overhead walk. Having him do an overhead lunge walk, what you see is the full body kicking in. So you can see if they can maintain good trunk alignment with overhead reach, you can see how whenever they use their core, their legs, if that then creates a compensation with their overhead, do they start to dip? Right, you see if they have forward head posture and compensations. It's just a good way with their body to demonstrate that they have control over their body before you start to load them up. So let's say they have some lat issue mobility, doing some foam rolling, right, to loosen up. You can even get the lacrosse ball in there. T-spine bench mobs, you have them basically sit down in the prey position, elbows on the bench, and have them drop their chest down, really locking in their core to do that. This one here is a good exercise. You're doing a lat stretch with stabilization, so you're keeping that scapula back, pinch so that it can't fall forward, right? You're trying to keep your core locked and engaged. You want to watch to make sure that they're not increasing their lordosis, and they should feel a stretch right through here in that armpit area. Exercises to progress to get them to working on that mobility. So we have the forearm wall slide. You have those guys facing the wall, right, and they're reaching up overhead. You want to make sure that they're not doing this or that they come off the wall or arch their back. A Hindu push-up is basically coming from push-up, and then you go into you can call it like a triangle. So you're really having to upwardly rotate the scapula to get them to press forward. And then the dumbbell pullover, it's a great exercise to assess lat mobility, but it's also a good builder of core strength as well as lat strength. So you have them on the bench, you drop the dumbbell overhead, and you watch to see how soon does their lumbar spine want to pick up off the bench. So it's a good anterior core strength, lat mobility exercise. So Kale's going to help me with these pictures here. These are some demonstrations of progressions. If you do want to get them back into overhead pressing, and they seem like that would be something that would benefit them, these exercises are great ones that can kind of progress to that. So we're going to do the landmine press first. You guys are familiar with the landmine exercise. You put a landmine in the wall or whatever, but what we're doing here is he's pressing forward, right? Set the scapula back. You want to line up the arm with this, with your trunk. Does this guy look like Brian Duncan? Yes, everybody look at him. He looks like Brian Duncan. All right. Sorry, Brian. So basically what you're doing is you're teaching them to retract back, lock into that position, as well as when they press, they're going into about 120 degrees. And I don't know if y'all read an article by Mike Reinold where he kind of knocked down all the different muscles in the shoulder blades, and he found out in the EMG-wise where they were best recruited. The serratus, which is vitally important for upper rotation, is best recruited at 120 degrees. 120 degrees is where that landmine typically goes through. So you know you're getting your upward rotator, your serratus, which is off, you know, with big lifts, is not usually recruited all that well since we stopped doing punches a while back. So you want to make sure that you were getting all the necessary muscles to kick in at the right time. So that's the landmine kneeling press. Overhead external rotation press is next. This one right here really helps to recruit the posterior cuff. I'm going to show this in the breakout session in case you guys want to jump in there. But basically what we're doing here is we're going into an external rotated position. So abduction, external rotation is a weak point. All right, so retraction back, glenohumeral alignment. You rotate, you really shorten that posterior cuff so you get it locked in. And then with that overhead press, what you're doing is you're asking the posterior cuff, the serratus anterior, and that shoulder blade to be able to move all at the same time. You maintain a good alignment, right? We talk about joint centration. When we talk about dynamic movement, you want to maintain good joint centration, which basically means the glenohumeral head is staying in line with that socket, okay? Ball and socket staying in good alignment. So this really helps to recruit the posterior cuff. You get a good burn. It's not something that you really have to go heavy on, but it's more of a conditioning exercise to maintain good alignment. Last one is a half-kneeling kettlebell press overhead, right? When you turn a kettlebell upside down, what does that recruit? What does that do? Right? So it's unstable, right? It's unstable, which means you have to do what? You have to do a little bit more stability. Who's our main stabilizers in our shoulder? Our rotator cuff, okay? Getting into overhead pressing, the last thing you want is your rotator cuff to not turn on, all right? So what we're doing here is we're turning that kettlebell upside down. You're pressing overhead, and you're getting good upward rotation of the scapula. You're getting good stability of the arm. You're getting good joint centration. You don't want that ball jumping around the socket whenever you start loading them up. Okay, it's just a good way to get all those muscles kicking in. If you just do a normal dumbbell press, you get good unilateral strength, but it kind of turns off a little bit that rotator cuff. So turning that kettlebell upside down really changes the game of that exercise. Thank you, Kel. So lastly, joint centration. We talked about it briefly, but what we really want to do is talk about it in the next phase, that dynamic activity. Okay, joint centration is basically being able to keep the ball steady in the socket. So in that poor posture that we talked about, if your shoulder blade is forward, what you're doing with that posterior cuff is you're putting those muscles on a stretch position. As we know, being in a stretch position turns down their contractile ability, keeps them from really being able to recruit that well. So we want to make sure we get them in the proper position, proper alignment, good posture before we start these exercises. So let's say these are throwing athletes. Throwing athletes require a lot of dynamic stability. You get a lot of these shoulders, all right? These doesn't have to be even coming from a rotator cuff repair. These can be just your off-season strengthening conditioning exercises for your throwers that you really want to kind of cut back on the heavy stuff and do some more conditioning. Maybe they had some elbow issues, some shoulder issues during the season. What can we do to really improve on the variables that go into throwing? First and foremost, we want to be able to optimize the joint centration. So a lot of times this weakest position, the 90-90 abduction extra rotation, needs a lot of work. So being able to do that, just your typical, you know, throwers 10 band exercises there, focusing on getting their shoulder blades to go back, and then making sure their elbow and their arm stay in the same alignment. The overhead press that we just showed the picture of, this has stopped working though. Anyway, so next, go back. You wanna be able to reduce the stress of the anterior stabilizer. So as you can see here, that's the joint centration, but he's also gotten to retraction. A lot of times they'll excessively go into a shoulder extension. So being able to really recruit the shoulder blade to be able to pull back, is that shoulder blade's not cocking back. They compensate with an excessive shoulder motion, so you get a lot of stress there. So being able to really work the strength of their scapular muscles, all right? During the throw, during the release, right, we got to be able to control the distraction forces. So that arm is trying to fly off the body. So doing things like farmer's carries, deadlift variations in rowing where they're inverted row, you had that distraction. You don't want that shoulder blade to be able to just pop forward. You want to be able to control the motion, build up that strength going through the entire motion of that throw. Farmer's carries, everybody's familiar with farmer's carries. Pick up something heavy, get in a good position, and walk with it. All right, what you're doing is you're giving good grip strength training, you're getting good postural training, you're really cueing them on getting them a good position, and it's a good way to just kind of finish off a workout. It's a full body workout. All right, I underlined the deadlift here because sometimes that's involved in a strength conditioning program. Think about with arms though, we have the alternated grip with the deadlift, correct? When you put that arm in a supinated position, what does that do to the biceps? It kicks it in more. For a thrower, even during in-season or preseason, you put that biceps on stretch and you have them do a whole bunch of lower leg work, which is important, but that biceps is having to kick in more and more and more. So think about as a thrower not having to overwork that biceps tendon in that supinated grip with your deadlift. Maybe do a pronated grip or just alter the variations. Don't do a same set with the arm in the same position. Change up the variables. Change up the positions of the grip, because whenever you have it repetitively stressed over and over your preseason, then you go into throwing, you're just asking for breakdown. Following through, internal rotation and abduction exercises, we're all familiar with our D2 patterns. You can do D2 with bands, you can do D2 with landmines and cables. So get familiar with those, blow those up. It's a good way to decelerate, right? And that's what the biggest stress comes in with throwing, is the deceleration. So really work through deceleration. And then obviously maintaining good alignment through the full range of motion. So what do we need to do? Educate. Posture. Posture inside and posture outside of the gym, okay? When I lose them, you guys are the next step. You guys are the ones that see them right before we leave. They leave to go back to full strength training. So being able to really nail that into their technique with some of these exercises we talked about, get them to think about their posture when they're lifting, and then also then when they're sitting there. Make sure that you give them a proper movement assessment. Don't just say, yeah, you looked okay. If you get them to prove to you, right, that they can do those exercises correctly, you know that you have less of a chance that you're going to irritate that shoulder again. So make them earn the right to do the lifts. Proper programming, like we talked about with baseball, football, you need to make sure that your program is built so that whatever they're doing at the next step is going to have some sort of factor, some sort of key with their workouts. And then lastly, just making sure they're doing it correctly, that you're watching their mechanics before they go into a gym with their teammates who aren't really taking too much time to look at their mechanics. So lastly, strength adaptations will be delayed as long as compensations are present. Make sure you get those compensations out of there. Now's the time before they really load down and build up a lot of strength. They're coming back from surgery. So you kind of get them from scratch. You got a blank tablet to work with. Really load them on proper mechanics. Aberrant movement patterns eventually produce breakdown. So if they get into a point where they have really bad arches in their back, you're not going to deal with shoulder pain maybe, but you're going to deal with the back pain, spondies and things like that. We don't want to add to their problem list. And then lastly, with posture, muscles placed in optimal positions produced optimally, all right? Making sure we do it correctly, get them in a position that they're going to get as much out of the exercise as possible.